Take your Bibles this morning, please, and open up to the book of Acts, chapter 4, and verse 31 is our text today. And the title of the message is Praying for a Bold Witness. Praying for a Bold Witness. And I will develop this a little bit more as we go, but this is also going to be the theme for our year of 2020 as a church. But here we are, standing at the threshold of the year 2020. Isn't that amazing? It's 2020 already, okay? I remember being a young boy and thinking the year 2000 was so far away. And I'm going to be so old in the year 2000. I'm going to be 38 years old. And I just thought how, you know, when you're young, you know, your parents are ancient, even if they're not, you know. And 2000 was 20 years ago, you know, 20 years ago. Where does time go? But this is always a great time of the year. I love this time of the year. I love Christmas. I love the time between Christmas leading up to New Year, because it's a time of the year where we can take account of our lives, okay? And we can and should look back over the last year and evaluate where we are. What needs to change? What needs to go? What needs to stay? What needs to be strengthened? You know, being in business before I went into the ministry, there was always evaluation, you know, to want to make sure that we had the best business that we could have, and we were doing the best that we could do. Well, I don't want to take business practices into our Christian life, but it is a great time to evaluate. And all of us, myself included, we can all do better. Now, if you will remember last year, 2019, and there is our kind of our theme for the year back on the poster, the theme of the year was one. Okay, O-N-E, one, and the number one. And we were praying and asking God to give us one soul, okay? And God answered that prayer for some of us, okay? But we also picked up on the theme of to be one, a disciple of Jesus Christ. We wanted to make sure that we were disciples of Jesus. We wanted to win one. So we saw the importance of being an evangelist. We wanted to follow one, a Paul. So we wanted to see the importance of having an older, more mature believer in our life that we could follow, that could disciple us. We wanted to teach one also. We wanted to have a Timothy in our life, someone who could we could teach and disciple and bring along the way. And lastly, we wanted to encourage one. We wanted to be a Barnabas. You know, it's difficult out there in the world, and we need to encourage each other. Our theme passage for last year was the Great Commission from Matthew 28, and the Bible says there, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So through the disciple hour, we prayed and we trained to be disciples and to be disciple makers, okay? And I want to carry that theme a little farther this year, okay? I want to carry that theme a little farther. And our theme this year will be, as I said, praying for a bold witness. Praying for a bold witness. And our theme verse is the verse that is before us, Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Lord willing, next week there'll be a nice banner there, which Faith has designed for us based on this. And Acts 4:31 says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Okay? They spake the word of God with boldness. Friends, I believe that time is running out. I further believe that the Lord is coming back soon. So I believe that we are in the last hours of the last days. Okay? I'm not going to set a date because that would be foolish and unbiblical. But if you look at what is happening around the world, the Lord must be coming back soon. Okay? We don't know the date, but we're 1 year closer to his coming than we were last year. Okay? And it's time for us to wake up out of our slumber, and it's time for us to be a bold witness. And I would like to take the next two Sunday mornings to encourage us in this. Today and the following Sunday, I will preach on this theme of being a bold witness. And after that, we'll be getting into a study of the seven churches. But we'll talk about that at a later date. Once again, I want to set the disciple hour apart to encourage us in our endeavor of praying for a bold witness. So during the disciples hour, okay, we're going to be studying the book of Acts. Okay, we're not going to have a book to go through like we did the last time. We're going to be going through the book of Acts. And I want to encourage all of you, I want to encourage to make that service a priority in your life and make every effort to attend, because we are going to be seeking this year, praying for a bold witness, okay? And carrying on that theme of making disciples, carrying on that theme of fulfilling the Great Commission, of going and making disciples. Well, we need to pray that can be bold in that, okay? But if you look at our verse, Acts 4:31, to bring it a little bit into context, the context of our verse finds persecution continuing in the church. And in chapter 3, we find that Peter and John heal the lame man at the temple. And Peter preaches another message to the masses, and 5,000 people are saved. That's incredible, isn't it? You know, 3,000, 5,000, you know, people are getting saved by the masses here. And a lot of this had to do with, of course, the 3.5 year of ministry of the Lord Jesus prior to this. And the biggest thing is his sending the Holy Spirit. And the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And because of this, the Sanhedrin, the Jewish court, imprisoned Peter and John. And Peter and John defend themselves to the Sanhedrin, and it's interesting. The Sanhedrin wonder how such unlearned men could have such knowledge of the Scriptures. And I love verse 13, especially the last part of verse 13, where it says, "And they," meaning the Sanhedrin, "they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Isn't that great? Isn't that a great honor that you know why these guys are like they are? Because they had been with Jesus. Wouldn't that be great for people to say that of us? Hey, you know, I think that guy has been with Jesus. Now, why do you think they said that? Because their ministry was so similar to what Jesus's was. Jesus went around healing people, and they had just healed this man, okay? And their ministry of teaching and preaching, okay? Now, that's apostolic. The apostles performed these miracles. That's not for us today. But the boldness can be for us today. So what does the Sanhedrin do? They threaten them and they let them go. They say, "You stop this." and they let him go. And they return to the church and pray, and God answers them. Now, just before we get into the message, I want to read verses 24 to 30, okay? So follow along. It's starting in verse 24 of Acts 4. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ, and of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that they, with all boldness, they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus. And our text, verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So verse 31 is our theme for the year, and I've divided the verse into four parts: pray, power, presence, and purpose. Okay? And we'll examine that here for a moment. But in our evangelistic endeavors, in our going out and seeking to make disciples, in our effort to be a bold witness, there has to be prayer. Okay? First point, point number one. And when they had prayed. Okay? There has to be prayer. Prayer is vital for the success of our evangelism. And I fear that we don't pray enough. And I fear that we don't pray enough for souls. Okay? Sandy and I have made a concentrated effort to pray every day and sometimes multiple times a day for Noah's salvation. Because we love him and we want him to be saved. And in our prayers, you know, we pray for parents and people to be around him that are believers. And in our prayer, we pray the promises of God. We know it's not God's desire that anybody should perish. And we remind ourselves in our prayer that God is powerful and can save and will save. Do we really pray like that for everybody? We should, that we know, our loved ones. Everybody here has people who are very close to them, maybe family and friends that aren't saved. We need to pray. And for whatever our evangelistic effort is, if we go out and we're passing out gospel tracts, whatever it may be, we need to pray. Because prayer is vital for the success of our evangelism. There is little power if we don't pray. And quite often, if we don't pray, we're doing things in our own power. And what is that? Flesh. And what kind of success do we have then? Not very much. Okay? But what do we pray for? Well, look at verse 29 of our text. Here in our passage. We need to pray for boldness. Verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that we with all boldness may speak thy word. Now, they had a real legitimate reason to pray for boldness, because they were threatened. They were threatened with imprisonment, and as we'll see when we study through the book of Acts, in the disciples' hour, we will see how some of those threats came to pass, and they were imprisoned and were killed, okay, even for their faith. But we need to pray for boldness. We don't suffer that kind of persecution here in America, for which I'm very thankful. But, you know, some of us are by nature timid, okay? I'm raising my hand. How many of you by nature are timid? Okay, we're timid people. We don't like, how many of you like confrontation? Good, okay? We shouldn't. We don't like confrontation. And we need to pray for boldness, okay? Because sometimes we're just naturally timid. And it goes against even our natural makeup to be bold, okay? To be that bold person, that one who, because not everybody has the gift of evangelist, but everybody is commanded to go and make disciples, okay? So, and that means timid people too. Well, Lord, I'm really shy. I can't go. Well, that's good you're shy. Then you can trust me more, and I could really work then. We need to pray for boldness. We need to pray that people get saved. Look at Romans chapter 10. Now, this is a prayer for a particular group of people that Paul was burdened for. But in our prayers, we need to pray that these people get saved. Okay? Romans 10:1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So Paul was praying that God would save his people, okay? And you and I need to pray for the people on our salvation list that they would be saved. Pray that. Lord, save them. Save them. We know it's your will. We know it's your desire that nobody perishes. Save them. Show yourself strong. And then last, I mean, there's many things we can pray for, but the last here for my point is Matthew 9. We need to pray for more laborers. Matthew 9. I find this interesting that from the start of the early church, even before the church, here the Lord is praying for more laborers. And sadly, 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 so few labor for souls. Matthew 9:36, the Bible says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. So the first thing here we see is the Lord's compassion. And he said, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are what? Few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And that's the same today. Look around. The fields are white unto harvest. There are so many souls who don't know the Lord. There's so much work to do in his vineyard, but yet there are so few laborers. And I say shame on us for that, because we are the ones who should be laboring, because the Lord, the last words he said, are the first thing that we should do. Go and make disciples. And that's what we see here. So prayer, okay? Prayer is vital for our evangelistic effort. So friends, what do we pray for? Pray for boldness. Pray for people to get saved. Pray for more laborers. And what happens when we pray? Well, notice when they prayed, and when they had prayed, the second point, power, the place where they were assembled, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. The place shook. The power was there. This was a sign to them, just like the sign in Acts chapter 2. Turn back a couple of pages, Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. 50 days after the Passover, the day of Pentecost, And the fulfilling of the day of Pentecost is the sending of the Holy Spirit. And suddenly, verse 2, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So there was this sign. There was this mighty rushing wind, and there was this cloven tongue of fire that set upon each one, the Shekinah glory, fire, the presence of God. Just like there was fire when Moses set up the tabernacle. Just like there was the glory fire when Solomon built his temple. And now we know that you and I are the temple of God. And what abode over the temple of God? The fire, the Shekinah glory, God's presence. So we need to pray so that not only pray for boldness, pray for people to get saved, pray for more laborers, but we need to pray for God's power. Not our power. I have no power to lead anybody to the Lord. But we need God's presence. This was a sign of God's presence. We always need God to go before us in our evangelistic endeavors. Always. If God does not go before us, we're going in our own strength, in our own power. And we need God's power. This is a glorious token of the commotion that the gospel makes. I love Acts chapter 17. Turn to 17 and verse 6. Acts 17 verse 6. And this is an awesome, awesome testimony for the early church. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." Isn't that awesome? The gospel turned the world upside down. Now, when we pray, this building may not shake, okay? Literally shake, unless we're in California, okay? I guess their buildings shake frequently. Every now and then there's an earthquake here in New Hampshire. But we can see the commotion that will come to a life when the Holy Spirit moves in and someone is saved. And lives are radically transformed. And lives are shaken by the gospel. This is what we need to see. Power, God's power. I believe with all my heart that that power is still available today in 2020. But we do not take advantage of that power. And we seek to do things in our own power. And sometimes we don't even seek to labor. And we're not aware of that power because we don't do anything. We need to do things for the Lord. We need to pray so that we can see that power. But here's another blessing. After they prayed, after the place was shaken, there was a presence. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. This is vital for the success of our witness, the Holy Spirit. It's vital. It's vital for our success as a witness. You and I must be Spirit-filled. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 4, the first part of the verse there, when the people were saved and the Holy Spirit came, the Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what about you and me today? What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Our charismatic brethren have this wrong in their teaching. But the filling of the Holy Spirit has to do with His influencing us. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, the Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye," what? "Filled with the Holy Ghost." So just as one, and again, what Paul is talking about there is not being drunk in the Spirit, but just as wine, just as alcohol takes over one's being, and someone who is under the influence of alcohol is not thinking or doing things of their own accord, but the alcohol is taken over, you and I need to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And you and I need to rid our lives of all that takes up room where the Spirit could be. So being filled with the Spirit has to do with His being influential in my life, and me being led by the Spirit, and me being filled with His Spirit, not my flesh. And when that happens, we see the works of the Spirit that are mentioned in Galatians. This is so vital that the Holy Spirit, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit when we do our evangelistic work, so that the Holy Spirit can do His pre-salvational work in the lives of those we share the gospel with. Turn back a book to John. And in the Upper Room Discourse in John chapter 16, as the Lord is speaking to His disciples the last night He's with them on earth before He is crucified, the last night, He says this in John chapter 16 in verse 7, speaking about the Holy Spirit. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away." Now, put yourself for a moment in the disciples' shoes. And they had just spent 3 to 3.5 years with Jesus, and they loved Jesus. They'd spent almost every day with Him. They'd loved Him. And He tells them, "You know what? It's good that I'm going away." How do you think they felt? How can this be good, Lord? He said, "It's good that I go away, because if I don't go away," what does it go on to say? "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send Him unto you." See, Jesus was only one man in one place at one time. But the Holy Spirit would come, God's presence would come, and He would fill all the believers, and He would be with all of the believers all the time, all over the earth. Isn't that a blessing? God is with us. The Comforter is with us. So why is it so important for the presence of the Holy Spirit when we are going out and seeking to be a bold witness? It says in verse 8, "And when He," meaning the Holy Spirit, "is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on Me, of righteousness because I go to the Father and ye see Me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged." So the Holy Spirit needs to come and do His work of conviction in the lives of those we're sharing the gospel with. We can't convict anybody of sin, but the Spirit can. We can't tell anybody that, we can't give anybody our righteousness, but the Spirit can. We can't judge people, but the Spirit can. And the Spirit of God must work in the lives of people. That is why prayer is vital. Pray so that the power comes and God's presence comes. And then the purpose for all of this, what is the purpose? Verse 31, "And they spoke the word of God with," what? "Boldness." Praying for a bold witness. They spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, do you think in this group of people that's growing larger and larger every day, do you think there were shy people? Timid people? Insignificant people? I think so. Plain people, common people. There were slaves, there were all kinds of people. These were Jewish people at this time. The church was all Jewish. At this time, these were people that were living in their country was occupied. They were living in their own country, but they weren't free. So the purpose of this is that they speak the word of God with boldness. Friends, you and I can't be shy or timid. It's time to wake up. You may be shy or timid, but turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Chapter 1. Verse 7. If I use fear as an excuse why I don't witness, where does that spirit come from? Satan or the flesh, okay? Or the world, the flesh, or the devil. Because notice what it says in verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, okay? So the spirit of fear does not come from God, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It's very interesting if you do a character study on Timothy. Many of the commentators think that Timothy was probably a timid man. But yet he was a man that Paul took with him and left him and pastored in some very difficult places. And yet he, some even say that his fears and his being timid and his shyness and whatnot and his nervousness even caused him stomach problems. Use a little wine for thy stomach's sake. Okay? I don't know why, but my grandfather, he's with the Lord now. He used to always say when people were getting nervous, he used to always say this, don't get your bowels in an uproar. I guess that meant, you know, people's stomachs get all twisted and they get themselves sick from worrying. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. So if we're sitting home in our easy chair when we should be sharing the gospel with somebody and we use the excuse, I'm afraid, that's not from God. We need to pray for a bold witness. We need to pray that we could see God's power. We need to pray that we would sense God's presence. And then that gives us boldness to go out and share the word. We must boldly proclaim the gospel. Look at all the time boldness is used in the book of Acts. Look at Acts chapter 9, the start of Paul's ministry. Acts chapter 9, verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and coming out at Jerusalem, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians that went about to slay him. Now here's Paul, Saul. Okay? Who was Saul? He was the guy that was killing and imprisoning Christians just a couple chapters before. And now he gets saved gloriously. And he shows up and he says, I'm a Christian. What do you think some of the people thought? This is a tactic. He's a spy. He's come here to try to, you know, see who is, and he's going to arrest us. Who comes to the rescue? Barnabas, the encourager. And Paul had to speak boldly. And Paul also had to speak boldly because it tells us in that last verse I read that people were trying to kill him. Okay? Look at chapter 14, Acts 14, verse 3. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Look at chapter 19, verse 8. And there's many other examples. This is just a few. But 19, verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Why do we need to speak boldly? We need to speak boldly, friends, because we're taking a message that is against everything the world stands for. And the message of the gospel, even though it's good news, it starts out with what? Bad news. When you share the gospel with people, do people like to be told they're sinners? Hey, you know, you've got a sin problem. No. But they need to be told that. And we need to be bold. And look at with me, please, at Ephesians chapter 6. This is what our prayer should be for others and ourselves. And Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth, what? Boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in bonds, that therefore I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Friends, this just isn't for Paul. Paul wasn't the only one that God wanted to be bold. We all need to be bold. So please, 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 let me encourage you to make every effort to come to the Disciples' Hour. Because once again, this year will be a year of seeking to be a disciple and making disciples. We will be praying and learning and encouraging each other on in our evangelistic endeavors. Praying for a bold witness. Spreading the gospel and seeking to make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I ask you, are you a bold witness? It's the new year. Good time to start fresh. It's a good time to, I don't like to use the word resolutions, but you know, make new commitments to the Lord. And wouldn't it be a blessing to say, you know, I want to come to that disciple hour and I want to be a bold witness. And we'll be studying the book of Acts together. And we'll be spending a few minutes at the end of each service, getting with one other person, groups of two, and just praying for someone you're witnessing for and praying that you would be bold in your witness and encouraging each other to be bold. So can I encourage that? Praying to be a bold witness. And I would want that to be the theme of our year. As we leave the friends, I love when we are gathered together. And when we are gathered together, it is the sweetest time of my week. And it should be the sweetest time of your week as we gather together to worship the Lord and to fellowship together and to sit under His word and to pray. But there are so few hours that we are gathered together. Most of the time, where are we? In the battlefield. And we need to pray when we're out there to be bold. A bold witness for the Lord.